what's coming up now on Established in the Faith.
God knows how to take our wrong, put it into His right, and make it all work out to our good. But let me give you an example. If you want to understand this of which I have just said, God taking our wrong and putting it into His right, look at Calvary. Hello, neighbor, and welcome today to Established in the Faith. This is Pastor James Pierce of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina, and how so very pleased and happy we are to be with you today. Got a great message lined up for you. Hope you can stay with us for the next 30 minutes. If not, let me encourage you to go over to establishedinthefaith.com. There you can listen to today's message as well as many others that are in podcast form. Well, we're going to go on into the message now. Hope and pray it'll be a blessing to you. Have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me please to Ruth chapter 1, same passage we read last week. Ruth chapter 1, move down if you will to verse 15. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. And Naomi said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law Orpah is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And I want to continue with the message we began last week. Blessings in the midst of tragedy. The greatest blessing that a person can ever receive is the great gift of salvation. And this of which I have just read to you is Ruth's statement of faith. It is, without a doubt, one of the greatest affirmations of salvation found anywhere in the entirety of the Word of God. But as we read her story, and especially here in this first chapter of Ruth, her salvation is shrouded in so much wrongdoing and tragedy. And the question has to be asked, how can such a blessing come out of something so wrong? The story begins with Elimelech, who owned a portion of land in Bethlehem. It was the inheritance that was passed down from generation to generation, given by God to his forefathers. The land that God gave to Israel was not to be passed to another. It was sacred. But yet, because of a time of famine, Elimelech heard there was food down in Moab, and he moved his whole family down to Moab, which was forbidden of God. And going back into history, when Israel came out of Egypt, the Ammonites and the Moabites came against Israel. They did not meet them with bread and water to try to help them. But they came out against them and tried to hire Balaam to put a curse on Israel. And as a result of these people and their actions, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3 that an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And yet Elimelech moves his whole family down into this area of cursed people. And his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. The end result of all of this was tragic. Elimelech died, and if that weren't bad enough, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they also died as well. And all of this wrongdoing, in all of this tragedy, Ruth would be saved. How do we correlate all of this? Had Elimelech not gone down into Moab and left his inheritance, Ruth would not have been saved. Had his two sons not disobeyed God and married these two Moabite young ladies, Ruth would not have been saved. How can such a blessing come out of something that is so obviously wrong? Have you ever thought about it? First of all, let me say that God is omniscient. He knows everything, past, present, future. Nothing catches God by surprise. He knows everything that has or will ever happen in this world. He sits upon the throne and he is not reacting to different things as they take place here on the earth. He knows. He knows what's going to happen. That's number one. He is omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful. Number two, when God created man, he created man to be a free moral agent. In other words, you have a free will of choice. You have the right to choose what you want to do. You can choose God or you can choose the devil. The choice is up to you. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose heaven or you can choose hell. And God does not interfere with man's free moral agency. He will not do that. He will not force you to trust him. He will not force you to love him. He will not force you to serve him. You have to make a choice. Both of these, God is omniscient, and God gave man the ability to choose. Man is a free moral agent. Both of these points are true. But our mental ability to put it all together sometimes is very limited. And in my limited ability today, I want to try to combine these two points and get you to see something. God, in his foreknowledge, knew that Elimelech was going to do this thing. God knew that his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, once they got down into Moab, he knew that they were going to marry these two young ladies. He did not interfere with their free moral agency. He knew through foreknowledge that this was going to happen. God can take our wrong and put it into his right and work all things for the good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. God knows how to take our wrong, put it into his right, and make it all work out to our good. And you say, well, Brother James, I don't understand that. Well, join the club. But let me give you an example to help you understand it today. If you want to understand this of which I have just said, God taking our wrong and putting it into His right, look at Calvary. Look at the cross. It was at the cross, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ took your wrongs and put them into His right. It was at Calvary that He took my sins and gave me His righteousness. Glory to God. It was at Calvary that He took my sickness and gave me His healing. Glory to God. It was at Calvary that He took my hell and gave me His heaven. Glory to God. It was at Calvary where He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was at Calvary where He gave me peace of mind. It was at Calvary where He gave me the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit. Glory to God. Calvary. He took our wrongs and put them into His right and made everything all right. Glory to God. You don't have a problem. You've got a solution. Glory to God. If you're saved today, you don't have a problem. You've got a solution. God didn't stop Elimelech from going down into Moab, and He didn't stop Mahlon and Chilion from marrying these two young Moabite girls. He's not going to stop us either from doing foolish things. Now, if you want to climb Fool's Mountain, God's going to let you. Sir, if you're stupid enough to cheat on your wife, God will let you. If you're stupid enough to do it, He'll let you. And God will deal with you the whole time you're doing it. He'll deal with you. He'll work with you. He will make your life miserable. But He's doing it because He loves you. He's doing it because He's trying to turn you around. He's trying to pull you back into the way you ought to go. But there's a line out here. We don't know where that line is. And there comes a point, if we cross the line, then there are consequences. Are you hearing me? There are consequences. And there's every evidence that God dealt with Elimelech to leave Moab because the famine had ended. And he stayed there long after the famine was over. The Bible says in verse 2 there that they continued there in Moab. He continued to stay there after the famine was over. God dealing with his heart, working with his heart. There was time to get out, although he had gone in a wrong direction. God was still pulling at him, dealing with him. God's dealing with some of you right now. You've gone off in a wrong direction and you think, Brother James, there's no hope. You don't know what I've done. I've gone too far. I've done too bad, Brother James. I don't care who you are and I don't care how far you've gone. God's dealing with you and pulling at your heart today. You can still come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him now while there is time. You say, Brother James, I blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I can't. Just by you making that statement, God is dealing with you. You have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You can come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is dealing with some of you right now. Please do not continue down the road that you're going. Turn around now while there is still time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. He will welcome you in with open arms today if you'll come to Him. He's pleading with some of you. But Elimelech, he continued to stay in Moab, and tragedy struck. He died, and his two sons died as well. There are consequences to our actions.
ladies and gentlemen.
God not only knows everything that will happen in this world, but He knows our hearts. He knows what we're going to do long before we do. We think we know what we're going to do, but until you're put in a situation, you really don't know. God told Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Think of that. "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." God knew that Jeremiah, when the time came, he would accept that call to the office of prophet. God knows who will accept him and who will reject him. But he gives everyone the opportunity. And God deals with us. He works with us. But sometimes it takes a tragedy to get our attention. It took a tragedy to get Naomi to where she was ready to go back to Bethlehem. What's it going to take for us? Naomi calls her two daughters-in-law in. She basically told them, she said, "I've got nothing else for you. There's nothing else for me here in Moab. I hear there's bread again in Bethlehem, and I'm going back home to my people." In verse 14, Orpah was grieved when she heard all of this. She lifted up her voice and she wept. But in verse 15, we see where she turned and went back unto her people and unto her gods. Orpah was given the opportunity of a lifetime. She had no idea what she was giving up. She chose her gods over the God of Israel. The direction that she took, sadly and regrettably, is the direction that much of this world out here takes. And in her choice, Orpah fades off the pages of Scripture, and we never hear from her again. Oh, but Ruth said, "I'm going with you, Naomi." Verse 16. "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried." God knew what was in the hearts of these women. He knew one would say no, the other would say yes. And God knew that it would take all of these happenings to bring about that opportunity. "Where you go, I will go." That's what Ruth said. This is her statement of faith. She's turning her back on everything that she has ever known. She turns her back on her family, her culture, her religion, everything. She casts her lot with the people of God, Israel. Is now going to be her kindred. Whatever the hardship, whatever the difficulties, whatever the persecutions may be, no matter what happens, she has made up her mind that she's going to do whatever she is called upon to do. She's going after the Lord. "Where you lodge, I will lodge." It makes no difference what the roof looks like, how Spartan it may be, or how palatial the place may be. "Where you lodge, I will lodge. I'm going with you. Your people shall be my people." She is cutting all ties with the past. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, I ain't arrived. We need to look at that very carefully. I set my GPS the other day to take me somewhere. And when I got there, the lady said, "You've arrived." And I said, "Well, thank you." None of us have arrived. None of us have apprehended. None of us are there yet. But I'm well on the way. Glory to God. I ain't where I used to be. Amen. Praise God. Thank God you ain't where you used to be. We should be growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. But none of us have arrived yet. Paul said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Ruth did. "Your people shall be my people." She forsook everything. And if you're going to be saved, my friend, that's basically about what you have to do. Jesus said that a man that puts his hand to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of me. What is the top commandment in all the commandments? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He is to be our everything. And when Ruth said, "Your people's going to be my people," she was leaving the past behind. She said, "Your God will be my God." She was totally forsaking the gods of Moab. And she made Jehovah her God now. She said, "Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried." In other words, her commitment was for life. It's hard to get anybody to commit to anything nowadays. There was no turning back. She would never see her family again. She would never see the places of her childhood again. She was pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then she said, "The Lord do so to me and more also." Verse 17, notice that. Ruth 1:17, "The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." This refers back to a statement that Naomi made in verse 13. Naomi said, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Ruth wanted God's guidance. Ruth wanted God's guidance and direction. In other words, "Lord, don't let me go astray. Let your hand go out against me. If I start to go off in a wrong direction, Lord, put your hand down and steer me in the way I need to go." God only knows the number of times His hand has gone out to stop this poor preacher from going off in a direction. Oh, don't y'all look at me like that. That's a blessing. "Let your hand go out against me, and even harder than you did with Naomi, if need be, but steer me in the right direction." Her statement of faith is without a doubt one of the greatest affirmations of salvation found anywhere in the entirety of the Word of God. It rings down through the corridors of time and characterizes all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Her faith overcame a curse. Her faith saved her. Her faith landed her name in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater honor than that. But all of these blessings of which I have mentioned to you today and many more, it all came about in the midst of tragedy.
Today has been a blessing to you, and you would like to have a free CD copy of this message, just give us a call or text us at 252-299-4234. You can also go to establishedinthefaith.com. There you will find today's message as well as many others that are in podcast form. But perhaps you need someone to just talk to just pray with you about something. Again, just give us a call at 252-299-4234. This program is an outreach ministry of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina, as well depends on the prayerful and generous financial support of listeners like you. To contact us or to contribute to this ministry, go to establishedinthefaith.com, click on the Donate tab. It's easy, and all donations are safe and secure through PayPal. You can also mail us at Established in the Faith, P.O. Box 601, Bailey, North Carolina, 27807. We look forward to hearing from you.
I'm Haven.
And I'm Juliana.
And you've been listening to Established in the Faith with our dad, James Pierce. He's the pastor of Friendship Free Will Baptist Church over in Middlesex, North Carolina.
That's right, girls. And every Sunday morning we have Sunday school starting at 9 o'clock and worship service at 10, as well as Bible study and prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. All of these services are broadcast to the parking lot for those of you who wish to participate drive-in style.
And the church is located at 744 Friendship Church Road in Middlesex, North Carolina, near the EMED community. On the website, if you click on the Contact Us tab, Google Maps will bring you right to us. We would love to have you, and we hope to see you there.
And we hope today's program has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.